Well, hello, my name is Luke, and welcome to this bonus episode of Church Mini HQ. October has been a big month for updates that pertain to the media, tech, and maybe the creative space. So I wanted to try something new and give you some of the highlights and discuss how they could potentially affect your church's creative department. So again, a lot has happened over the past month in the world of tech. We'll start with something that happened here just about a week ago at the time of recording this, and that is Adobe made their 2021 updates to their Creative Cloud software and platforms. Probably the most significant update that I noticed is that Illustrator is now coming to the iPad in its full version. So it joins Photoshop as the second full version Adobe product that can run as an app on the iPad, made natively for the iPad. So what this means is that you can use the application Adobe and all, I've personally not tried it, but what they're claiming is all the features that you would find on the desktop app and all the capability you're also now able to find on your iPad. I've talked with a couple of people that have used this. They're really impressed. And so I think it's pretty great. And what this shows us is that the iPad is becoming a more viable option as a potential, primary device for even those in the creative space. Now, to be clear, I don't think we're there yet, and I'll talk more about that here in a moment. But Adobe, by releasing now 2 years in a row, two of their very popular programs, Photoshop and Adobe, available to run in its full functionality on the iPad, that shows a trend that they are moving towards doing this with other apps. So we could see the likes of things like Adobe Premiere, Adobe, maybe something like InDesign or XD, all these Adobe products coming in their full version, pure forms to the iPad in the future, which as we move towards that is really going to be significant for the future of actual computing. Now, speaking of iPads, Apple announced new iPads actually last month, and they announced just their standard new iPad that starts at $329. Nothing big changed there. The big announcement that they made about iPads last month and that released this month is the brand new iPad Air. And I actually happened to be the iPad that I purchased. I was in the market for a new one. And so I have the new iPad Air. This is the fourth generation. You can see if you're watching, you can see the blue color is available in several different colors. So far, I'm really liking it. And just to compare it with let's compare the previous generation iPad Air, the current, this new one, the iPad, the fourth generation, and then also comparing this with the iPad Pro model of its same size. So the biggest addition, I would say, to the iPad Air is that it looks almost identical to the iPad, the 11-inch version of the iPad Pro, and it's actually got a faster chip. And so if we just look at it comparing side by side, I'm looking here on Apple's website. The screen is virtually the same size. Technically, the iPad Air is 10.9-inch, whereas the iPad Pro 11-inch is full 11 inches. So literal difference of a tenth of an inch there. But like I said, the chip is the A14 Apple's in-house chip that they make. What that simply means is that it's a much faster processor, and it's actually faster than the one that's on the current Pro version. And so another thing that I think is great about this iPad is just like the iPad Pros, it now has this edge-to-edge edge display. They've done away with the home button, which for me, I have been waiting for that on an iPad, which they, of course, they did it on the Pro already. But I think that the home button has just become so unnecessary with the addition of Face ID. Now, I will say this, there is no Face ID on the iPad. However, they do have the Touch ID, so the fingerprint sensor. And since there's no home button, it's actually built right here into the top button, and it works great. So I am, a big fan of this. So that Touch ID is built right there into the top button. It uses USB-C instead of Lightning, so that is a new change. Up until this point, the Pro models were the only ones that were using USB-C. The significance there is that USB-C allows you, it's going to allow this iPad, though I've not personally tried it yet, to work with some external devices, hard drives, things like card readers, even external screens and displays. And so it does have that addition of USB-C. So seriously, when you look at this, the hardware differences between the iPad Air, the newest iPad Air, and the iPad Pro 11-inch, really, they're very minimal. Of course, the iPad 11 Pro or the iPad Pro 11-inch has technically a better camera and so on. And there are some small differences, but they're really minimal and the average person is not going to notice it, but the price is, in my opinion, pretty significant. Whereas the iPad Pro starts at $799 or $800, the iPad Air starts at just $599 or $600. So it's really a $200 difference there, and I don't think that the average person is going to notice. So if you are in the market for an iPad and you're wanting something with a little bit more to it than just the standard iPad, that the base model iPad that Apple sells, I would highly consider this iPad Air. Again, I've had mine for a few days now, and I'm really, really liking it. It's available to order now. It came out I think it was last week that I received it. So it's been out for just a few, less than a week now, but it is available for you to order on Apple's website and other sellers. So I highly recommend it. Oh, here's something significant I don't want to overlook. It's actually one of the more significant things is that this iPad, the latest iPads now work with the updates in iPad OS 14. They actually now work with a mouse or trackpad. And Apple actually makes a special keyboard case. Of course, it's a very pricey keyboard case at that, but it has a built-in trackpad that works with the iPad, and that case will fit on this iPad Air, and this iPad Air works with the Apple Pencil too. Just a side note there. And so again, it virtually operates like that iPad Pro with just some small hardware differences. But I really think this different. I have experimented with using a mouse on the iPad, and it's definitely a new experience, but it has a lot of potential. When you combine that, using a mouse with using a keyboard, and really seriously, we are getting very, very close again to iPads truly being an option as a replacement for a computer. I don't think we're 100% there yet, but we're getting really close. And with that in mind, I really see two great applications for iPads in the church, in your church, maybe among your team. But first, we need to understand the difference between a standard user and a pro or a power user. So a standard user is someone who just only uses their iPad or their device or computer for just everyday standard tasks, checking email, checking social media, typing up documents and spreadsheets and things like that, just really standard office work. And that's going to be probably 4 out of 5 people out there. But so that's the standard user. Now the pro user or the power user, they're going to be your person who's in the creative space. They're your media guy, your graphic designer, maybe you're even somebody who's in IT. They need to use more advanced programs, video editing software, Photoshop design softwares. And so you need to understand the difference between someone who's just a standard user and a pro user. Fortunately for me as a pro user, you usually usually get to update more often on your devices and stuff. And it makes more sense because you're putting so much wear and tear on your computer and on your devices. And so I do believe that we are to the point where an iPad could serve as a possible solution for a primary device on a for a standard user. So that person who's just checking their emails and checking their social media and you know, typing up those documents. I really do believe you buy the right accessories for it, the keyboard, the mouse, or the trackpad or whatnot. I do believe that it is very much a possibility that someone could someone could be very happy with an iPad. Now, the biggest downside with it being a primary device is the screen size. Of course, the biggest size screen you can get with an iPad is 13 inch, but then again, 13 inch is the smallest size that you can get in a laptop from Apple and from most places. I will definitely say that I believe that an iPad, an actual Apple brand iPad, is a much better option than getting some low-end PC laptop. Yes, those are going to be cheaper, but I don't hate all PC, but I do hate the cheap PCs. They're junk. They don't last very long at all. Very unreliable. So I believe an iPad is definitely better than that and a definitely possible solution. Now, for the pro user or that power user, I think someone could definitely benefit from the iPad and something like this iPad Air as a secondary device. And so if you're maybe your media guy, your designer, video guy, whatever is tied to maybe they're tied to like an iMac or some type of desktop computer in their office, which obviously is kind of stuck there at their desk. Well, I think the iPad is a great an iPad, and particularly this iPad Air could be a great portable solution. So if they need to do some work on the go, again, it's going to run Photoshop and Illustrator in their full version on the iPad. So I really do believe that it could be an option for them as far as portability goes and being able to use something if they need to do something while they're away from their desk, maybe at home or traveling or whatnot. I know they would still. Obviously, I do not believe it can be a full-on replacement yet, but if it was a secondary device and they still had that primary computer that they could use for the heavy lifting, I definitely think that is an option there at church. And again, I know that's a luxury, but as someone who has worked in the creative space and at a church, in my situation, I did have a desktop, a very good desktop in my office. And fortunately, I was also able to have a laptop. It was nice to be able to have that ability to be portable and to be able to, you know, work from home if necessary. And so I know that's a luxury, but it might be better for your designer, your creative guy, if they feel like they can break free from that desk every once in a while. And so, of course, if we're going to talk about iPads, we have to talk about the new iPhones, which just were announced here just earlier this month and actually just started hitting shelves last week, I believe, around the same date as the iPad Air. So this year, Apple announced four new models, the iPhone 12, the iPhone 12 mini, the iPhone Pro, and Pro Max. And so we're going to talk about some of the key features here in a moment, but let me first highlight something that is not an important feature, and that's 5G. Now, understand this, 5G is the next generation in cellular technology and data transfer and downloads and all that. It's much faster than LTE and anything. I mean, much faster. It's blazing fast and very powerful. And it's no doubt it is going to revolutionize some of the advancements in technology in the future. However, 5G is not near as readily available as Apple and Verizon and other carriers are making it out to be. It's got limited availability in large cities and surrounding areas. It's going to slowly roll out to the rest of the nation and the world, of course, over the next the next 2 to 3 years is what experts are saying. So it's there, but it's not near as available as, you know, the T-Mobile map likes to make it appear. It's coming, but it's not there yet. And it's going going to be a couple years before we get there. So if you buy the iPhone 12 just hoping to get 5G, you're probably going to be disappointed. So do not buy the iPhone 12 just for that reason. 5G is great, but it's just not all there yet. Now, let's talk about some of the iPhone 12 features that I believe are noteworthy. And unlike the past two or three releases of the iPhone, this is actually a pretty significant upgrade, in my opinion. Of course, there's that A14 Bionic chip, which is the same as the iPad Air. Again, this is just Apple's in-house made processor for their devices. They're claiming it's very fast. And in my experience using it on the iPad Air, it is super fast. Very pleased with it thus far. Of course, the iPhone has an improved display. It's more durable. They're using that OLED technology and what they're calling an XDR screen. I know that's all technical jargon to many, but basically that means there's more pixels, more a clearer image, and there's more color. You'll notice a better screen improvement. Now, I think the most significant upgrade, and they did make a big to-do of it during the Apple event, but I think it's a much bigger deal than maybe even what Apple made it out to be, is this MagSafe technology. And this is magnetic charging. It allows for magnetic cases to be connected, phone cases to be connected magnetically, other accessories to be connected magnetically. Right now, there's just a few accessories available because it's new, but I can really see this addition of MagSafe being something they build on in the future. They've already said that third parties can actually use this technology or make MagSafe accessories. And so I think it's a pretty cool feature. And one of the reasons I would want the iPhone is because this MagSafe technology, I think it's great. You just magnetically, it's all a wireless magnetic charge, and then again other accessories that work with it as well. The sizes of the iPhone 12, they have the 6.1 inch, which this is an iPhone 11, is about that size. I believe they said it's the same form factor as the iPhone 11, but the screen is actually slightly bigger, so the borders are smaller, so making the screen a little bit bigger. But they also announced a new smaller iPhone, the iPhone 12 mini, which is only 5.4 inches. It's basically the exact same as the iPhone 12, just smaller. So the iPhone 12 mini. Now, of course, we'll talk about the iPhone 12 Pro and its features. It's also available in two sizes, 6.1 inches and 6.7 inches, which they're saying is the biggest ever iPhone display. It's got a LiDAR scanner. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time with that other than to read the description from Apple's website. This measures how long it takes light to reflect back from objects. So it can create a depth map of any space that you're in. It's very fast and accurate, so AR apps can now transform a room into a realistic rainforest or show you exactly how a new sneaker will fit. So, again, I don't want to spend a lot of time there because it's a little bit high tech, but when you look into it, what it does, check out Apple's website, and it really is an impressive technology that makes an improvement for the AR, the augmented reality experience, and the camera itself. Speaking of the camera, there are some big improvements to the camera on both the devices, both the iPhone 12 and the iPhone 12 Pro, when it comes to things like low lighting and both photo and video. But of course, the Pro has the biggest advancements here. It's significant improvements if you are a photographer who's seriously into photography and wants to maybe look into using your iPhone as an actual camera for what you do in photography. So of course, it's got the three cameras, the wide, the ultra wide, the telephoto, with some improvements there. Probably the two biggest areas, though, of improvement is the Pro RAW format. So this, again, without getting super technical about it, I'm just going to read what Apple says about it. It gives you all the standard RAW information along with the Apple image pipeline data, so you can get a head start on editing with noise reduction, multi-frame exposure adjustments already in place, and have more time to tweak color and white balance. Again, if you're not a photographer, that probably is just jargon to you. If you are into photography, you know what that means. And that basically means you get more control over your images images even after you've captured them. And then for video, Apple is now the video format is it's capturing in what's called Dolby Vision, and this is the format that same format that's used by film studios, and you can even edit it right there on your phone. And it's just a more detailed file format that is just going to give editors a little bit more control over their footage and far as in the post-production process. I will say I believe that the phone improvements or the camera improvements are pretty big if you are a pro, which is why it's called the iPhone 12 Pro. I really do believe we're getting closer and closer to smartphones. Smartphone cameras truly overtaking the DSLR industry. The average user, they can't tell the difference between photos taken on the iPhone and photos taken on a DSLR. And the average user doesn't, as far as experience goes, they actually prefer using their phones because they're much simpler to use than your standard DSLR camera. Just some final notes to think about. Both phones are still using the Lightning cable. So the one they introduced years ago with, I think it was like the iPhone 5. However, they do include a charging cable in the box, but there is no power adapter. So there's no plug adapter that allows you to plug into the wall and then plug your charging cable into it. Now they're claiming they're doing this for the environment and I'm sure whatever, but it's also helping their bottom line because now they don't have to, produce as many of those power adapters, and it makes the boxes and the packaging smaller and all that good stuff. Now, granted, I'm not going to get too upset over this. Some people are. I'm not. I literally have, I don't know, I have at least 10 of these power adapters laying around, and so I really don't need another one. In fact, the past few phones I've gotten, I haven't even bothered to take the charger out of the box until much later because I already had chargers laying around the house. The iPhone 12 and the 12 Pro are available now. The iPhone 12 Pro Max and the iPhone 12 Mini will be available to pre-order. I believe it's on November 6th. And so you can pre-order those then. The iPhone 12 Mini is the cheapest at $699, the iPhone 12 at $799, the iPhone 12 Pro at $999, and the iPhone 12 Pro Max at $1099. So they're Apple sticking with those $1,000+ price tags for the Pro models. What is interesting is that each one is a little bit more expensive if you order it without buying it through a carrier. Now, to be clear, the phones are technically unlocked even if you buy them through a carrier, but you have to actually register it with your carrier in order to receive the pricing I just mentioned. Otherwise, it's going to be about $30 more to just buy it outright. I don't know why they did that. Well, I do. It makes a little more, it gives them excuse to make a little more profit in a different scenario there. So, if your main phone right now is an iPhone XS, XR or earlier, you're going to notice some pretty significant upgrades or differences with this upgrade to a 12. I even think you're going to notice it with you have a 12, have an 11. I have an 11, and I, of course, I like it. I think it's great. I'm not 100% sold on if I'm going to upgrade or not, because I did just buy this iPad Air, and so as far as budget wise, I'm not sure if I'm going to swing that, if I'm going to want to spend the money on it since I just bought the iPad Air. However, if I do upgrade, my vote, for what it's worth, is actually the iPhone 12 Mini. I do appreciate that phones have gotten larger over the past few years. If you go back and look at the early iPhones, the iPhone, 3G and the iPhone 4, even the iPhone 5, they are kind of small. They definitely feel small now, but at the same time, I've never been a fan of the Max models, the iPhone Pro Max models. I think those are entirely too big. And even the 11 took some getting used to when I first got it because it was a little bit bigger than my previous phone. I have adapted to it by now, but I've always liked the idea of a smaller phone just because of how I use my phone. I don't use it for a lot of actual, I don't use it for like social media and things like that. And email. I do all that on my iPad. So I like having a larger your screen on an iPad, but on the phone, I'm all about having a smaller device. So if I do upgrade, I will very likely go with the iPhone 12 mini. That has my vote. Now, I know this doesn't specifically, the iPhone talk here doesn't necessarily apply to your church. Well, it kind of does because just about everybody has an iPhone. And yes, some of you Android users out there, I know, but it does. Everybody's got an iPhone, so maybe this information will be helpful for you personally as you consider upgrading your phones. I mean, smartphones, I know technically it's a luxury, not a necessity, but technically so is a car. I mean, there is a lot of things in our first world society that really there to the rest of the world, they may be a luxury, but to us, they have become necessity. And the smartphone kind of fits in that category. I do get very frustrated when my devices operate slow. I have, you know, run devices into the ground because they're older. And so I do believe it's good to upgrade if, as long as you can afford it and you're smart with it. I do believe it's a good idea to update your phone. Upgrade your phone every 2 years, maybe three. And, you know, with iPads and computers, updating those every 3 to 5 years. I recommend that even if you think it's perfectly fine, just to keep up with the new software updates and things like that. So if you're in the market for a new phone, a new iPhone, I do think you'll be happy with iPhone 12. Again, I have not got my hands on it yet. I hope to soon. Of course, nowadays you can't just walk in with the good old pandemic. You can't just walk into the Apple store in most places and play with a phone like you used to. But I'm hoping to get my hands on one of them here sooner than later. But I do recommend them. I think they're pretty great devices. And so this has been, again, a different episode. I know I've always kind of nerded out on this Apple stuff. So it gave me an opportunity to actually talk about it. And I hope it was helpful. I hope you enjoyed the episode and that maybe the information helped you in some of your purchasing decisions about your iPhone, iPad, your technology, whether it's for your church or for yourself personally. But I want you to let me know your thoughts about this bonus episode. Is there something I missed? I mean, yeah, there's been a lot of other stuff in the tech world to happen, but is there something I talked about with the iPhone, the iPad, the Adobe that was maybe I missed or was a little bit off? So let me know. And if you want me to cover more content like this in the future, please let me know. I enjoy this kind of stuff, but I want you to enjoy it as well. I don't want to bore you with information that you believe isn't relevant to you. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed it. And I do want to hear your thoughts. So if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, leave us a comment and let us know what you think. And of course, while you're there, be sure to like and or subscribe so that you can get this content when we release it. This is available on YouTube, Facebook, and just about anywhere you listen to podcasts. So be sure to subscribe there. And until next time, remember, just like this episode and the format of this bonus episode, try something new. It is so much better to fail at trying something great than to succeed at doing the average. I'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.